Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 357. As this week, we bring you the first hour of AWA Super Clash 1. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1985, and spend a month without Peacock?
I love that last part. A month without Peacock. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Although they have put up all the world-class episodes, finally, so I'm going to give them that.
Well, that's good. I guess they're supposed to have everything moved by SummerSlam, and SummerSlam's coming up, so
it's coming pretty rapidly.
They better get their migration in gear.
Yes. For those of you who missed it, Super Clash 1 wins the poll, beating three other shows, which all are on Peacock. But we're going to be on YouTube for this. In fact, you might just want to go and pull up Super Clash. Go to YouTube, pull up the account's called Classic Wrestling Stuff. Just type in AWA Super Clash 1 or AWA Super Clash 1985 or whatever, and I guarantee you're going to get there. And it'll be great. Okay. Now let's see here. On our podcasting charts this week, probably the best news is we moved up again in Australia. We are the number 84 ranked wrestling podcast in Australia this week. We also moved up in Great Britain, down in Canada and Ireland, up on the U.S. leisure charts, and also up in the global leisure charts. So we are men of leisure, Jim.
Well, not me, because I wasn't on the last show. So it's people apparently are happy when I'm not on the show.
That's not true.
I'm popular in Canada, but apparently I'm not popular in the United States, Great Britain, or Australia.
Well, you're popular in Ireland, too.
Which is, I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's fine. All right, yeah, you like Bret Hart.
Yes.
Okay, that works. That works now. Also, we're in the month of July. Please, if you haven't already, feel free to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, where we are here for you. That is where you get the complete archives. That is where you get your ad-free shows in advance. And that's where you get any bonus material that Jim and I and the various guest hosts come up with. And you're welcome there, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Please go ahead and check it out. All right, so let's get to this, Jim. The date is Saturday, September 28th, 1985. To give you some perspective, we covered Battle of the Belts 1 many shows ago, and that took place on September 2nd, 1985. We're in the middle of everybody sort of trying to band together to fight off the World Wrestling Federation, except these guys really don't trust each other. Also, AWA and Jim Crockett Promotions and a couple other companies have started Pro Wrestling USA, and we've gotten to this point. I don't know what people know about the history of the AWA, but you know how the WWF, when they had a big show under Vince McMahon Sr., they'd put it in Shea Stadium. You know, the one of those shows that only comes along like once every 2 or 3 years. Well, when the AWA and Vern Gagne had big shows, they would do it at Comiskey Park in Chicago. It's called something else now, but it's the stadium. It's the baseball stadium where the Chicago White Sox play. Also best known as the home of Disco Demolition Night in the late 70s. So this show took the biggest crowd ever at Comiskey Park, was on September 7th, 1974, 22,000 fans turned out to see the big Vern Gagne versus Billy Robinson match. The AWA ran Comiskey Park 5 times before this. They also ran at Soldier Field, which is the big football stadium in Chicago, but 22,000 is their biggest stadium turnout. They had given up on Comiskey Park, except in August 1984, they did a post-game show at Comiskey Park after a White Sox game, and 20,000 fans stuck around to watch the Crusher and Stan Lane take on the Road Warriors, which, no, I still don't have any idea why the Crusher was teaming with Stan Lane, but that's what happened.
So, I remember they did. Crusher was like a de facto manager for them, and he dressed up like a fabulous one, with like the cummerbund and everything. And it was pretty funny, actually.
Okay, so for whatever reason, I'm guessing, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Did Crusher win the back of the van with the women?
Sure.
He would call them the Dollies.
I would have no problem believing that of the Crusher.
Yeah, the Dollies, because he'd go to the saloons and have the beer and dance the polka with the Dollies.
Hey,
that was apparently a slang for women back in his day.
Well, you know, if you're dancing the polka and you're in the era where, actually, 85 is kind of post Lawrence Welk, I think. Lawrence Welk was big at one point, kids.
He was.
Google him. Yeah.
You go to your grandma's house. Always watch Lawrence Welk.
Oh my goodness, my grandmother, God rest her soul. Yes, I agree. Okay, so the previous AWA show was Thursday night, September 26th, in Boise, Idaho. 3,000 people turned out to watch the featured matches like Bruiser Brody versus Hangman Bobby Jaggers, where they went to a double countout. And in the main event, the AWA Tag Team Champions, the Road Warriors, fought Jesse Barr and Sandy Barr to a double countout.
This is like a Portland show, because Bobby Jaggers was working Portland that time.
Well, it's listed as an AWA show, probably because the Road Warriors are on it. Plus, it's Pro Wrestling USA. People are working together. This is not a bad thing, right?
I'll bet you this was when the Road Warriors and Bruiser Brody worked Portland, then worked Seattle, and then they probably did Spokane, maybe. Or if not Spokane, they did Boise then, too.
Okay.
But that's what happened.
Okay. So meanwhile, I'm going to do as many of the other promotions as I can sort of get to. The WWF is busy on their Saturday. Their A show is in Philadelphia at the Spectrum in front of a sellout crowd of 19,710 on a Saturday night. It is Roddy Piper teaming with Cowboy Bob Orton to defeat the team of Bruno Sammartino and Paul Orndorff by countout. And in the main event, the first ever meeting between these two men, Hulk Hogan pins Randy Savage. That is, as far as we know,
Think about this. 19,000 people for a WWF-only show. And here you have AWA, NWA, Japan, Mil Mascaris. You know, you've got a whole supercar.
World class,
world class. And they do 22,000.
Well, 21. Well, there's an argument over how much they drew. I think 21 is the more or less official figure. But the real argument apparently came over how much the gate was, because for some reason the Jim Crockett people thought there was more money than what the AWA people said there were, and the difference was sizable. And when the Crockett people didn't get paid as much as they expected to, that put a damper in Pro Wrestling USA, a real damper. Pro Wrestling USA sort of quietly ended up dissolving after this.
Yeah, I mean, as Vince McMahon famously said, they couldn't even agree on what to order for lunch. All they could agree on was that they hated Vince, you know. And also, when you have stars, you couldn't do decisive finishes because nobody wanted their stars to lose, because you can't have that happen.
That's true. Okay, the WWF B show was in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where the tag team champions, the Dream Team, beat the British Bulldogs, and the Intercontinental Champion, Tito Santana, defeats the Missing Link by disqualification. The Missing Link wouldn't be around that much longer in WWF, as I recall. For the C show, WWF was in Battle Creek, Michigan. They're great! The home of Kellogg's, of course. It is the Iron Sheik teaming with Nikolai Volkoff to defeat George the Animal Steel and Corporal Kirchner. And in the main event, it is Junkyard Dog fighting Terry Funk to a double disqualification.
Oh, my word.
Yep. That's something.
That's just...
Your buddy Brian Blair was also on that show against Iron Mike Sharp.
Brian Blair was a good wrestler. I mean,
it might have been the match of the night for all I know.
It probably was, honestly.
All right. Jim Crockett Promotions, of course, was also running a show. They were in Mount Airy, North Carolina at the high school there. And if you were there that night, you got Buzz... they don't have results, but you got Buzz Sawyer against Superstar Billy Graham and the main event, Dusty Rhodes defending the TV title against Tully Blanchard. It's probably saying something that the booker for Jim Crockett Promotions didn't make the trip to Super Clash.
Yeah, that did say something.
Yeah. Championship Wrestling of Florida. CWF is in Miami. Well, they're not in Miami that night. They're in Miami on the Wednesday night, the 25th. CWF roster is, shall we say, decimated. On that show, Rick Rude defeated Frankie Lang. And the main event, it was Kevin Sullivan and Bob Roop over Mike Graham and Kendall Windham.
Wow.
Yeah. World Class Championship Wrestling, Friday night in Dallas on September 27th. The Great Kabuki defeats John Tatum. And in the main event, it is Brian Adias defeating Gino Hernandez in an upset to win the Texas title.
Well.
Yep.
And Gino wouldn't live that much longer.
No, he wouldn't be. Memphis, they had off that week because September 23rd, their Monday night show canceled because of the Mid-South Fair. However, that gave them an extra week to prepare for what was coming on Monday, September 30th at the Mid-South Coliseum, the Great American Bash. Memphis version, yes.
That was at the Liberty Bowl.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't at Liberty Bowl. That was in 86, I believe.
Yeah. The Great American Bash set to be headlined by the Rock and Roll Express against the Russians and Ric Flair against Jerry Lawler. I hope to God somebody has footage of that we get some one of these years. But
I want to say that it ended up not being Jerry Lawler, and they switched it, I think, to Coco Beware, because there was a Flair Lawler match. I'm not sure if it was that.
Yeah, there was.
Okay,
but not this one.
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up.
All right.
There's one where it switched because I don't know. They didn't really gel together in the ring. Hmm. They didn't really like working each other.
Well, okay, let's see. Mid-South Coliseum, 9,500. Okay. And you know, the match did come off. Yes. They in fact worked 29 minutes. So. All right. Well, there you go. Well, anyway, I'm sure that's a topic for another day, I think. Okay, normally this is the part of the program where we talk about our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. For those of you looking to support the show, or maybe to get the entire archive of the show, all 356 episodes, or those of you looking to get our bonus material, which we try to put up now once every week or two. But Shane, obviously we're going to talk about our friend Jim Valley. Jim is in need of a kidney transplant, and he has begun dialysis. So the Figure Four people set up a GoFundMe for Jim. So gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-Tunzer. As of last, it raised up to $70,000 because... you know, kidney transplants aren't cheap. Neither were 3 months in intensive care that Jim had to go through last year. Now $650 and raised. Go to gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-fundraiser, or just go into Google and search for, go into GoFundMe and search for Jim Valley, and you'll find it. Please, let's all help out Jim and Carrie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone step up here. Brother needs a hand, and he's had a rough go of it here in the last year or so. Everyone who can help him, please, please give generously.
Yes, this does not mean you can still go and be on our Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Yeah, Jim gets his half of the proceeds too from that. And it's got all of our shows, all 356 of them, and Jim has done a lot of bonus material with us for that. But no matter how you do it, just do it for Jim, folks. That's all we're asking here. On this 4th of July weekend, you know, no matter what's happened this past year, I can look at it and say, you know, I've got my health. I'm not hospitalized, and I'm not even a nice person like Jim is. So, you know, please, please, everybody give generously, and thank you very much from all of us for doing that. At least I hope so. All right, let's go to this show. Like I said, we're on YouTube. I'm at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Yep. Hold on. Let me just get back to here. And I accidentally hit play, so I'm going to start it over again. Yeah. You're gonna get to 0 seconds, and you're going to get the AWA logo, moving logo on the screen. And Jim, are you also there?
Yeah, do you have the 24/7 logo on the top?
In that little area, yeah.
Okay,
you were there?
Yep.
All right, so we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, here we are.
Reminds me of ESPN.
It should. It's Super Clash Night of Champions. Greatest night in the history of professional wrestling.
That's right. Fern gone, your fern looks good.
Yeah. So there's 21,000 people there, more or less. And, you know, I mean, it. There are some shots where it looks like there's nobody there. And there are some shots where you look around and you say, oh, there's a good crowd.
Well, it's a big baseball stadium, so yeah.
It is. All right. And Mr. Electric, well, he's not Mr. Electricity. This is Brad Riggins. And he's ready for Mr. Electricity, Steve Regal.
Yeah.
No relation to William Regal.
You have Mr. Electricity, Mr. Non-Electricity, and Brad Riggins.
Yeah. And Brad Riggins is a light heavyweight.
Yeah.
In the AWA, anyway.
He doesn't have anybody else to wrestle.
You know, he always reminds me of, like, a younger Steve Corino with that look. At least until the bell rings.
Steve Regal?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a babyface in the Northwest in like 1980, 81. He was really good.
Right.
And then, I don't know, he was kind of he did really well in the Northwest. And then he's one of those guys that just was kind of a small-time wrestler, you know, world WWA out of Indianapolis.
Right.
And did some Texas and, you know, tagged with Jimmy Garvin and, you know, the light heavyweight stuff. But.
Yes.
You know, never really was a major star.
No, he wasn't. Oh, I know some of you in the audience are asking, well, didn't Vince McMahon try to run opposition to Super Clash? No, see, that's where you're wrong. WWF is running Rosemont Horizon the next day, the 29th. So you can get to both shows if you want to.
Yeah.
And you can tell they weren't at all concerned because the main event they did for the Rosemont Horizon was Hogan and Andre versus King Kong Bundy and John Studd, which is probably literally the biggest match they could come up with at the time.
Yeah. All right. What a fun wrestling weekend, man.
Chicago. Yeah.
I like that dad sitting there with his kids smoking.
There you go.
The guy in the plaid shirt.
Well, he's outdoors, you know.
Yeah, he's
at least he's outdoors doing it.
Right.
He's not doing it in a smoke-filled arena. He's doing it in a smoke-filled baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he would say, "Da Bears."
Da Bears. Dicka.
Mm-hmm. Hey, kids, what do you think of this? Chewing gum?
Yep. Oh, later, the NWA book. World Midget title is up for grabs. That's true. That's next true. Week, folks. This is WWE Network, you know, WWE 24/7. They just couldn't resist, you know, just taking a nice job.
I love 24/7.
Yeah, 24/7 was, yeah. There's stuff that appeared on 24/7 like this that never popped up on the network.
Yeah, you got some rare stuff right. On 24/7. It's like they gave you just enough content on demand every month that you could watch all of it.
And you wanted more, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the first WrestleManias happened in March 1985, and everybody's trying to do their own. Each company's trying to do their own version of WrestleMania. Yeah. Jim Crockett did their Great American Bash in Charlotte at the stadium, where Flair comes in with a helicopter. You've seen Battle of the Belts in Florida. Memphis is going to do their Great American Bash. And this is what Vern came up with.
Well, wrestling is still kind of hot right now. It's still kind of a popular fad. I mean, it would cool off as the year went on, but it's still fairly popular right now. Mm-hmm.
They Actually, one of these weeks or one of these months, we'll have to get to it. In August of 85, AWA ran a show in Boston and got it televised on like the Boston ABC affiliate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a charity show. Yeah. And it's on there somewhere. It's I think it's Wrestle for a Cure or Wrestling for a Cause or something like that. Wrestling for a Cure or something like that. I'll have to pull it up. It's on this guy's account.
Oh, well, let's look it up and put that up for a vote. I watched that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but here's the thing. The announcers were the guys from the Boston TV station.
Oh, God, did they know any of the wrestlers?
There was one guy. They brought in the color commentator was like a radio sports talk show host who knew enough about wrestling to be dangerous.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, the commentary is just like incredible. Yeah. And Greg Gagne, Greg Gagne actually gets interviewed and he says, gee, I wish my dad could be here. He's off on his annual fishing trip, just to let you know how important. Yeah. Wrestling for a Cure. There it is. Matthews Arena, Northwestern University, August 1985.
Oh, what's that
for? Wow. It's just, okay. And yes, of course, there's a match. And yes, of course, Wrestling for a Cure does contain a match between Steve Regal and Greg Gagne.
Oh, that could be a good match, actually.
There's some interesting stuff on there.
Like what?
Okay. Well, let's see. All right. Slaughter versus Zukov. That's not really that interesting. Brad Riggins versus Billy Robinson.
Oh, that's interesting.
Backlund versus Zbyszko.
That's not interesting.
In theory, it's interesting. Well, let's see. And Road Warriors versus the Long Riders.
Oh, that could be good.
Yeah. And Bockwink and Martell and Bockwinkel.
That's a good show.
In theory, yes. There's a couple things that didn't hit just right, but yeah. It's an interesting deal. Okay. Wow. Let's see here. Eddie Andelman and wait, no, it's not Killer Kowalski on commentary. Who wrote this? Jeez. Okay. Anyway, we'll go worry about that. Anyway, we'll worry about that later. We're missing this great light heavyweight title match between Steve Regal and Brad Riggins. And yes, William Regal, who was Steve Regal in WCW, he was named after Steve Regal from the AWA because, these guys were just working the carnival scene. They didn't actually think I'm ripping this guy off. They never thought, Regal never thought he was going to be wrestling in America and running across like Mr. Electricity Steve Regal at the time.
Oh yeah, the world was a bigger place back then with communication and also think about it, the Kendo Nagasaki that wrestled in the United States.
Yeah.
He took his name from a British wrestler, Kendo Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't unusual that happened.
No, it wasn't. Okay. All right. So I'm kind of wondering how Larry Nilsson got the call for this because they had other announcers.
I liked Larry Nilsson. I thought he was okay.
Yeah.
Brad Riggins, of course, wanted to. I love the Wade Keller story that Brad wanted Wade to come over and learn wrestling.
Oh, and sure he did.
Stretch Wade Keller.
Yeah, no thanks.
Wade Keller. What a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Wade said anything terrible. I mean, sure, he might have been critical of matches and stuff, but Wade's always been pretty tempered about his opinions and stuff.
It's like, don't you understand that Brad Riggins won gold medals in the Pan American Games?
What a jerk that he'd want to stretch Wade Keller. That's, I don't know.
That was like, but that was like considered, late 70s, early 80s. That was considered like, that's what you do to, people who question the business or who,
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't make it right.
No, I just think it's a jerk move. Mm-hmm. Especially it was like late 80s. It's like, come on.
Right. Yeah, the cat's out of the bag.
Come on.
Reagan's eventually ended up in New Japan from 89 to 93, which,
well, he was close to Brock Lesnar and stuff. I trained Brock.
Yep.
And stuff.
Trained a lot to do with training Vader.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Opened a pro wrestling school. Okay. Yeah. Still alive. Always a plus.
Both these guys still alive.
Yep. That's always nice.
Steve Regal, his father-in-law, was the wrestler Wilbur Snyder.
Oh, wow.
And he wrestled at Portland. I had him on the Portland WrestleCast, the first guest on the Portland WrestleCast. And he was married at the time and lived in an apartment in Beaverton with his wife. And, you know, he was already domesticated and didn't, you know, mess around or do those things.
Yep.
And they told a story about some female fan, you know, followed him home one day and knocked on the door, and his wife was there, and she was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't buy again.
You know,
he also told a story about driving back from Seattle. He and Brett Sawyer, Brett Wayne Sawyer, Buzz Sawyer's younger brother, who was very popular in Portland.
Yes.
Sort of like a Ricky Morton type.
And has the advantage of not being Buzz Sawyer.
Right. Yes. And, Brett Sawyer was 21 or whatever in Portland. So, you know, really feeling his oats. Mm-hmm. So they were driving home from Seattle, and a car of girls drove right next to them and was flashing them and waving them over and things.
Yeah.
Brett was begging Steve to stop. And so Steve stopped and let Brett go to their car for a little
Jimmy
while.
Jimmy Garvin. Oh, my God. Jimmy Garvin's interfering.
Yeah. That's quite an outfit Jimmy Garvin wearing.
Yes.
Those shorts need to be smaller.
Yep.
Hell no!
Oh, shenanigans. Regal and Garvin. Who wears short shorts? They wear short shorts.
What do they have?
Yeah. Referee Abe Vigoda is very upset. Unable to see anything, I guess.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Well, with those eyebrows.
Yeah, those get in the way. No, of course I didn't. I wouldn't cheat. All right, let's get up. Well, that's too bad.
That's too bad. We're really enjoying that light heavyweight action.
Yes, I know. Yes, those fast cruiserweights, all of whom are under. What weight is Brad Riggins under?
He's probably about 230, 240.
Yeah, probably. Let's see. Listed as 260 according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
Well, maybe he was 230 at the time. Well, he probably cut weight, you know, to make this.
I do like that they're interviewing the wrestlers.
Yes.
Give Steve Regal a chance. He didn't interfere. He just came down to watch the match.
Right. Well, congratulations on the light heavyweight championship. Some of the matches on this show are out of order, but that's probably okay.
And the whole damn system's out of order.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like the matches need to be in any sort of order, really.
No.
All right. Well, the fans are obviously very upset about this. Oh, here we go. Hey, Sherry Martel is here.
At the Cape, she got a Burger King, it looks like.
Yes. She's the Burger Queen.
She still looks like a Burger Queen.
There it is. All right. Very nice. Candy Devine.
Candy Devine.
Yes. Now, she was married to Tom Burton. I'm trying to remember this.
I'm just looking at that terrible belt she has.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that thing.
That's the real deal. That's what the ladies fought over. No, that's not a good belt. Meanwhile. Ken Resnick is standing by as Brad Riggins is beating up Steve Regal. Well, he's a poor sport, that Brad Riggins.
Yeah.
Okay, so Candy Devine at this point is 26.
What?
Yep. Well, I mean, Wikipedia, 26. No, it's 26 during this match.
I know.
Yes, let's see.
House wearing.
Okay. Oh, Tom Burton has passed away. Okay, there we go. Oh, dear.
That belt costs dollars to make.
Yes, I know. Bob Keller would have volunteered to make a better one out of a hubcap.
Oh, my God, look at that thing.
Jeez. Not great. All right, let's see. She and Tom Burton appeared on Divorce Court in 2009. Yeah. Let's see. And the judge ruled in Candy Devine's favor in the amount of $280.
Which is the price of that belt.
Yes. Maybe. Let's see. Last they have of her is living in Nashville and working as a personal trainer. Okay. Well, good for her.
26 here.
She was 26 here, yes, and had debuted in 1980 at the ripe age of 21. Oh, and supposedly, let's see, yeah. Oh, Marty Miller is your referee. There we go. Yeah. Yes.
Look how thin Sherry is here.
She is. Okay, here we go. I don't know where Sherry could hide any weapons on that outfit. Well, anyway.
Let's see here. Let's check for the 80s women's wrestling tropes. Swimsuits, check.
Yes, check.
Aquanet, check.
Pantyhose, check.
Yes. Percent.
Yep.
Heels by the hair, check.
Well, that's coming.
We'll get those, yeah.
All right, here we go. Yeah, we're gonna get the hair throws and probably some hair pulling. There we go, like that.
Yes.
Also, this is a 13 match show. I thought I'd point that out now. And no, the AWA wasn't in the practice of doing 13 match shows, but. The style that WWF was doing was, you know, lots of shorter matches, and apparently, I guess they thought ripping that off would be a good idea. And we're also not that far away from November of 85, where the first actual pay-per-view, the Wrestling Classic, takes place. Go back to episodes 1 through 3 of Way Back Playback for that. And I believe that took place in Chicago, didn't it? I think it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Candy Devine obviously has the offense, out wrestling Sherry, I guess. All right, let's see. Obviously, the lady in the front row is a big fan of the legendary Dr. X.
Yes, or the Billy Idol band X.
That could be it too. Oh, no. And here we go. Yep. Stomp. Okay.
I always liked that EWA had their logo on the mat.
I think that's a nice touch, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it should be bigger, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have wondered why more promotions don't do that. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's see. I mean, the ones that put advertising on the mat, that's I can understand, you know, I can understand them, I guess. Okay, so here we go.
Particularly
lost track of her.
I would do that.
Yep.
Nice bump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was accidentally knocked her. She accidentally knocked her over the top rope.
Technically, she drop kicked her. That, yeah. In my mind, that'd be a disqualification.
Right.
Because where else is she going to go?
Yeah, I know.
But for the sake of the match, you can't have that.
Right.
Are we doing the slingshot?
Well, I guess we have to move our way.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I think somebody wants to do a slingshot, but
yeah, it looked like they were setting up a slingshot, but I guess not.
There we go.
Here it is. Yeah.
Finally. Jeez.
Boy, Sherry's just bumping her butt off here.
Oh yeah. That's what she did.
Yeah. Well, the reason she died so young.
One of them.
Yeah.
Oh, the Boston Crab, and Sherry's tapping. Oh, wait, you couldn't tap out. It was 1985.
Yeah, you'd do a verbal.
Oh, no. All right.
You know, Sherry has not been wrestling that long. She's really kind of showing a lot of poise. Presence. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, she was
kind of a natural.
That's yeah. Oh, the
throat. Someone needs to bring that back.
Yep. Hey. I think that's a fine idea. Oh my goodness. Going to the throat again.
You know, this would be fun. A nice warm night. Be out watching some wrestling outdoors.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yes, it would. Okay, so, yep, Sherry and Candy both debuted in 1980. Let's see. Sherry trained by Donna Cristinello at the Fabulous Moolah School. Five minutes have elapsed. Okay. All right, so they're in the dirt. Okay, so, yeah, so Larry is pointing out you cannot win the title out of the count out. At least that hasn't changed.
Are they in the pitcher's mound? Or third base? Where are they?
I think they might be on the pitcher's mound. It's a little elevated, yeah.
Is that a base right there? Is that the?
They wouldn't put the. Well, I guess it does kind of look like it.
Is that home? But it looks like home is covered by that over there.
You would at least, geez, you'd think they'd at least take the plate out of there. Hold on, what happened here? Hold on,
did I? What happened?
I don't know. I think. Okay, hold on. Okay.
Come back.
Yeah, it hasn't come back yet.
Hang on.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, it came back. Okay, yeah. No, there was just a blank space on the recording, I guess. And now Candy Devine's working the leg of Sherry. Oh, no.
These two are really working hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people there. Obviously, they're doing the big thing that wrestling promotions did then, which they were planning to release the VHS tape of this, and they did, I believe. And, you know, I mean, some of the matches are probably going to end up on ESPN because the AWA is anxious to show anything that makes it look like there's a crowd there.
Yeah.
I mean, the AWA getting on ESPN was a big deal for, you know, at least people who weren't Vern thought. People other than Vern Gagne thought it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yep, working the arm.
That's a very entertaining match.
Yes. Well, it's no Brad Riggins versus Steve Regal, but it's very entertaining.
Those high flying light heavyweights.
I know. Crazy. Okay, let's say September. Okay, so yeah, September 85 was when ESPN began airing AWA Championship Wrestling. Okay.
Yeah, well, like I said, wrestling was hot.
Right.
And, you know, ESPN didn't have, like, you know, Major League Baseball and football and all the stuff. You know, it was much more obscure.
That's true. Yeah, it's kind of hard to – it's a lot harder to fill the 24-hour cable sports network when you don't have the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL. Yeah.
But I mean, it was cool because you come home from school at like 3 o'clock or whatever it was, and
right.
AWA be on or World Class or whatever.
I know. It was nice.
Of course, then after a while, you got tired of seeing Gary Young and stuff. It's like, oh, there's Gary Young again. I'm amazed at all the photographers.
Well, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be talking about it? Well, George Napolitano's got to be there, I figure, right?
I see Bill Apter.
Bill Apter. I mean, I kind of wonder what it was, what it must have been like to cover pro wrestling as a journalist in the '80s and actually go around to the shows. Hard to believe. All right. Oh, nicely done.
Yeah, thumb of the throat.
And good camera shot of it. Oh, I like the guy who brought his date. That's good.
She's a lucky woman.
I told you, honey. I told you I'd show you a good time.
My brother, I think it's Johnny Cash.
Yep.
All dressed in black there.
There you go.
June Carter next to him, I think.
That could be it. Because you're mine. I walk the line.
With Candy Devine.
Excellent. Oh! Almost. All right. Brought that up. Let's see the other side of the ring there. I'm wondering what the blonde lady is staring at, because she wasn't the match. There we go. Change your mind. Yay.
That's a good clothesline. I like those hooking clotheslines like that.
Yeah.
Randy Savage did those.
There we go. Up, suplex. This could be it.
He's going for the splash.
Oh, already?
We're getting a clean pin now. Yeah.
Oh, we might. Oh, my goodness. She's up top. Oh.
Can I think?
Well, she didn't get all of it, but it doesn't matter. Sherri Martel is your new ladies champion, and she won clean.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations to Sherri Martel. Our first title change of the night here at Super Clash.
You win the platter on a belt. Congratulations.
Yes, I know.
Look at that beautiful belt. Wow.
Oh, there we go. Well, thereby making the belt look better, he bashes it over Candy Devine's head.
There's some of Jock Wernetter's skull was protected.
Yeah, that's true. Sherri Martel, folks.
Plug your nose. Wow, look at that. Three women at a show.
I'm the better woman, yes. Okay. All right. It's time for our feature this week, the battle for the AWA All Asian Six Man Tag Team Titles.
Which don't exist anywhere else but this night.
Well, that's true.
So that's the Irwin brothers, Scott Hogg Irwin with the bad beard, and Bill Irwin, and then of course is Harley Race.
Right.
Harley Race with the perm and the stash.
On their way to the ring, folks.
Scott Auger, when did he die of brain cancer?
Yeah. I think we decided that was it. Okay, so Candy Devine held the title for... Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's see. Yeah, Sherry and Candy would be battling for that title for a while.
Wow. That is, you got Baba, Tenryu,
Jumbo Saruta, and
yeah. Jumbo Saruta. Wow.
Jeez.
Got Jumbo there.
Okay.
I guess Jumbo didn't speak English yet.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, Jumbo, Tenryu, Baba. All right.
Wow.
Jim, they forgot to bring their six-man tag team title belts with them.
They could have borrowed Sherry Martel's. I mean.
Yeah. I guess they could have hit Toys R Us. I don't know. Anyway, this is going to be a match such that the likes of which you've never seen.
They had a couple of Baba's robes at the Giant Baba exhibit in Tokyo that I went to. Got there. Those robes are gorgeous. It's hard to tell on camera how intricate they are, but they're really beautiful.
My goodness. There we go. Okay. Yeah. There's Harley Race, your 7-time world champion. Currently, he's running Central States, right, at this point?
Yeah, they own Kansas City, yeah.
Hey, and there's your Long Riders.
It's also the undisputed perm champion.
Well, yes, that's true.
Look at that thing.
Okay. Yes. Tenryu.
The youngster, according to Krill Monsoon. Right. Was Carlos Colon the youngster? I forget.
Yes, Carlos Colon was the youngster. Okay.
Scott Irwin was kind of a good talker and really kind of the dynamic force of the Long Riders. It's too bad he passed away.
It is. Well, too young. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Let's see here. Scott Irwin died in September 1987.
Yeah.
Yeah, brain tumor. So Scott Irwin, 33 at this point. And Harley Race has looked like that for 33 years at this point.
Yeah. He was born that way.
Yes. Just lucky, I guess. Yes. Larry says anything could happen here. I think anything can happen except for Giant Baba leaving his feet. I think that's rule that one out. I'm trying to wrap my head around this show. You're doing a 13 match show, which is great. This is a super show. You're trying to get a big crowd, but you have to have 3 6-man tags on the show.
I guess you got to get everybody on.
Yeah.
I mean. I mean, really, in 1985, Tenryu and Saruta are, like, literally two of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
Jumbo Saruta might be the best wrestler in the world right now.
Harley Race just leapfrogged him.
Oh yeah, Harley.
I love Harley Race.
He's gonna work his ass off for these guys. Yeah. And that's why he's in this match. I mean, they know and trust Harley. Yep.
And Larry Nelson is at least is smart enough to be putting over Harley as much as.
Oh yeah. Okay. Everybody respected Harley.
Oh. Oh my.
Harley really paid his dues coming up. When he was breaking in, he was the young boy really for a wrestler named Happy Humphrey, who was this big fat guy.
Oh dear.
And you had to pay Happy Humphrey, and there were places that Happy Humphrey couldn't reach.
Oh dear.
Yeah, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do, and it's not good.
So Harley really paid his dues.
Yes, he did. Yep. Oh no. Yes. Blind tag to Harley, there we go.
This match must be confusing for the crowd because I guess the Japanese team are the baby faces, but
yes, it is. And they're like, well, you know, Harley Race and the Long Riders are scum, but they're American scum, and we should be rooting for them.
Yeah.
I don't hear any USA chants, though.
No, I mean, they're not really. I don't know. I'm just saying it's probably
confusing, yes,
because they don't know who these guys are. But I mean, you know, you're looking at a legend in Giant Baba. And like I said, two of the best wrestlers.
Baba did leave his feet.
Yeah. If you look at some matches from the 70s, there's like one, you know, Baba was actually, you know, he's really good.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Baba's selling for Harley. Get out of there. Oh.
There was a hotel in Tokyo where the Babas were there like every night in the restaurant. That was kind of the de facto All Japan office. They were always meeting there all the time when Baba was alive.
Hmm.
Yep. Really nice hotel. I forget the name of it. I'll tell Matt.
Tenor is the fastest guy in the match, according to Larry Nelson, which I guess makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
Kick there. That was a nice kick by Bill Irwin.
Yep. All right. There it goes. Scott the Hog. Hmm. Okay. Yep. Oh no. Well, okay. Well, Tenor's in trouble. I mean, the all Asian six man tag team titles could be in jeopardy, Jim.
Yeah. It's the one and only title defense.
Yes, I know. So technically they still hold the titles.
Yeah. Well, just like later in the show. There it is, the Insigiri.
Oh, that's it. Oh, Harley kicks out at one.
We'll also see Mil Máscaras defend the IWA world title, and IWA went out of business in like 75.
Yeah.
But Mil always defended that title.
Because why not? One, two, oh no.
It's power slam by Harley.
Yep. All right. Oh, we're getting the pile driver.
This isn't a bad match either.
No.
I mean, it's moving very quickly, but.
Yep. Oh.
So far, this is a perfectly enjoyable evening of wrestling. It's,
yes, it
this
is.
This would be fun to watch live.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we'll see some worse stuff.
Let Larry Nelson want you to know the Asians are still in trouble. Yep. Okay. Wow. Irwins are flying around here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it again. Nope. Still can't take out Tenro.
I don't know why the AWA, after the Road Warriors left, maybe it was a money issue, maybe the Long Riders left or something, but why not go with these guys as World Tag Team Champions?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Might have been a money issue. I don't know. But
there seem to be a lot of money issues with the AWA.
Yeah.
Plus you have Vince overpaying, you know, just to take away guys. Just take guys off the table. I mean, if Vince is willing to pay to get Brad Reagans away from the AWA, which he did, then yeah, no one's really off limits.
Okay. Steve Regal was like an opening match guy too for WWF for a while.
Oh, here we go. Jumbo Saruta's in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Jeez. There's your fiery white meat baby face, folks.
Oh, yeah. Big chops, mate. Champama.
All right. And Harley's over there going, I'm not feeding him. Here's Baba.
Oh, he's the boss. You're going to feed him. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that cell job.
Referee that's has like, made the judgment call that that's also not an automatic disqualification.
It's like, please book us for All Japan tours.
Yes.
Please book us for the big lucrative All Japan tours.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, Bill Irwin back in the ring. Okay, up.
In the, you know, in this period, the Road Warriors were doing like 10 grand a week.
Yeah.
Working for All Japan.
Yeah. You don't mess with All Japan money.
No. So now they're going to sell their ass off for Giant Baba.
All right. Oh.
That's one of the reasons that's working for this match.
Oh.
That was nice.
All right. Bill Irwin desperate for making the tag. Yes. Oh, we're going to get another. We're getting another. No, nope. There we go. Man, this man, that they're putting in a lot of work here.
Yeah.
These guys didn't get the memo that we're only doing short matches tonight.
Oh. I mean, this isn't a Japan, you know, style match, but it's definitely not a lazy American match either.
No, it isn't.
You know, seem to have found a nice medium here.
It's broken down here in Chicago, folks.
There we go.
Oh.
The irony that Bill Irwin goes down by a big boot.
Oh. Well, that's it, folks.
That was a fun match.
Yes, it was. And the Asian titles are going back to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, nope, we're not done. Not done yet. No. Okay. Well, up next, little Mr. T goes for the gold.
That's right.
Yes. All right. Congratulations to Tenryu, Baba, and Jumbo Tsuruta. And let's see if Larry Nelson can get some comments from the champions. Okay, I guess not. Well, I think I'll bet he gets a word or two from Harley.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I don't know the situation, but if the Road Warriors are leaving,
why not the Long Riders?
The Long Riders.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Larry called him the Legend of St. Louis, and Harley said, "I'm the Legend of all wrestling." Not wrong.
The greatest wrestler on God's green earth.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, you tell him, Harley. All right, this is probably as good a stopping point as we're going to get. Let's call it a halt here. 46 minutes, 27 seconds.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates. We've got comedy bits. We have some wrestling talk. We've got watch-alongs. We've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion. That's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
As we get ready for the Midget World Title match, which is going to be taking place on next week's episode. And this is something different. I think we also get next week, we get the Mil Máscaras title defense, which I know you're excited about, Jim.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yes. And of course, I'd like to remind everybody, I'm at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter. Jim is at Jim Valley. And of course, you're going to want to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever podcasting network you enjoy. And if you'd like to know more about Brad Riggins, Wild Bill Irwin, Sherry Martel, Giant Baba, or Harley Race, you can go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or you can go check out your local library app, because it's all in books. Jim?
Next week, Little Mr. T goes for the gold. We'll see if he had some more gold around his neck and his waist. Same playback time, same playback channel.
Yes, and we have a lot more wrestling to go. 10 more matches to go, 3 more weeks of this, and it's going to be wild, including both the NWA and the AWA titles, including Kerry Von Erich showing up to defend his title from World Class. It's going to be wild. So stay with us here for the month of July. And thank you for listening to the show and patronizing us. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.